that he will be forever in war with Satan. And the offspring, the children of the woman, will be in opposition with the children of Satan. And the end result of this conflict, this battle, is the woman's seed, the offspring, the son, will crush Satan's head. But it's a fatal blow. But the Satan's seed will hurt the woman's seed as well, though of a lesser degree, will strike his heel. So Christmas is actually the beginning of the fulfillment of this oldest prophecy in the Bible. As we turn to Revelation 12 today, this is another version of the Christmas story. It is the version that is spoken, described from the angelic perspectives. No doubt it is full of spiritual symbolism. Many of them we find it is hard to understand. But there are certain clear image that we can pick up from there. First of all, we look at it, talk about a woman clothed with the sun, moon, and then the stars, with a crown of 12 stars on her head. What does this mean? Who is this woman? From the rest of the Bible, we can conclude that it is most likely mean the nation of Israel, out of which Jesus belonged. Jesus is a Jew, a descendant from the nation of Israel. And we can also recall in Genesis, Joseph had a dream. He dreamed about the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to one star. Altogether, this is representing the nation of Israel. So out of the nation of Israel, a child is born. How about the red dragon? Dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns. Horns, crowns, it means power. Who is this red dragon? He is Satan. This dragon is the devil. And this is devil has great power, symbolized by the 7 head, 10 crowns, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. This red dragon is in opposition to God. How about the sun? This is clearly Jesus Christ, who rule all the nations with an iron scepter. This is beyond any doubt. This son, which born out of the nation, the woman, nation of Israel, is our Lord Jesus himself, because there will be no other person who rule the nations with an iron scepter. Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, which means God saves. Jesus is God's salvation plan. This baby Jesus is part of God's salvation plan to save. The angels told Jesus' earthly father, he says, he will save his people from sin. and Satan do not like this one bit. Satan is ready to devour her child, the woman's child. As we look at the Christmas story in the gospel, it talks about at the birth of Jesus, there is an earthly king called Herod the Great. He heard of the news of the birth of the king of the Jews. So he tried to kill Jesus. He used deception and talked to the Magi from the east. Says, find me this Jesus. Find me this king of the Jews, this newborn king, and let me go and worship them. When he was discovered that he was fooled, the Magi never come back. He, King Herod, undertook the scorched earth tactic. He says, I am going to kill all male child 2 years or under in the city of Bethlehem. He thought by doing that, he would eliminate, neutralize the newborn king of the Jews. The red dragon, ready to devour the child given birth by the woman. Yet Joseph and Mary were warned by angels to leave for Egypt ahead of time. The book of Revelation describes the Christmas story from another perspective. It describes the spiritual warfare among the heavenly angelic forces. It described the archangel Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon and his angels. But I don't think this battle have fulfilled yet. It is still a battle to be filled until the second coming of our Lord Jesus. Although the result of this battle is a foregone conclusion that Satan will be hurled down, defeated. But in the meantime, at the present in the world that we are living now, until the second coming of our Lord Jesus, Satan will not give up. He will continue to try his best to destroy and weaken God's work on earth. Verse 12, in the passage we just read, talk about Satan is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Satan today is trying all his best within the allowable time given to him to destroy God's work. Ephesians 2 described those who follow Satan. The Apostle Paul described those of us who were not yet reborn. Before we were accepted Jesus, we were dead in our sin. Apostle Paul described us as when you followed the ways of this world, and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So we were following Satan, who is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. This is what Satan is trying to do on earth. This is the story of Christmas according to the book of Revelation, the darker side of Christmas. How does Satan work among us today? Revelation 12 gives us some ideas. He says, Satan, in verse 9, he says, the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. One of the tactics of Satan is to lead the world astray. Changing the Christmas story, calling Christmas happy holiday, or making Christmas a season of shopping and partying. Satan does not want us to remember the birth of Christ Jesus, trying to lead the world astray. Second, Satan do his work in this world today by continuing to accuse all of us. The name Satan means the accuser. See, you failed. As a pastor, I heard many, many people tell me that the reason why they cannot accept Jesus, why they cannot surrender their life to Jesus and follow him, why they cannot receive baptism, is that they are not ready. Maybe in their mind, Satan accused him or her that you are not ready. See, you fail. You can never amount to anything acceptable to God. Satan is the accuser that tells us that you are not ready, without realizing that none of us are perfect. None of us can call himself ready. So how can we overcome Satan? Revelation 12 gives us some ideas. It talks about how we overcome Satan in verse 11. It says, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb talks about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It is an accomplished event. It is already done, accomplished salvation. We overcome Satan by Jesus' sacrifice, once for all in perfection, according to the book of Hebrews. We can overcome Satan by claiming the accomplished work of Jesus through the blood of the Lamb. Second, we overcome Satan by the word of their testimony. The gospel, the apostles' letter, are all testimony of Jesus. We can overcome Satan through the scripture, through the word of God, through the testimony of the apostles, the gospels. Thirdly, we overcome Satan by declaring that we are not afraid to die. Mark chapter 8 says, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." The gospel message Jesus demand is telling us that we are already died to sin. Christians are not afraid to die. Recently, our Toronto Pastoral Fellowship have been praying for a pastor's wife who have suffered from brain cancer 2 years ago. The pastor's wife have received surgery about 2 years ago. Recently, last week, I received a newsletter from this pastor, Reverend Daniel Lee. He told us that after surgery, his wife received chemotherapy. It has been going well for a period of time, the first 8 months of this year. Last week, her doctor said the chemo drug no longer has any effect to the growth of the cancer cells. So in other words, the doctor said no more chemo treatment. The cancer cell will continue to grow despite chemo drugs. And then the pastors in the newsletter give thanks to all the support and prayers of the Christian community. And he says, "My wife is already longing, prepared to face her Lord and Savior." And they set apart next Saturday, December 10th, where he invited his pastor, his wife invited the Christian community. He says, "Since my illness, I have not seen many of you. Next Saturday, December 10th, come meet me in the church, where we will sing and praise God together. At the same time, saying goodbye to all of you." When I received this newsletter, I was very touched. This pastor's wife looked forward to her death in peace, even with a sense of rejoicing, because she knows that she is meeting her Lord. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is the Christmas according to Revelation. It is not a fancy story. Christmas is not God's way of treating the world a little bit. Minor adjustment here and there, making our life more comfortable, giving us some peace, some happiness. No. Christmas is a cosmic moment. It is God took on flesh to live among humankind. It is God's plan as part of a spiritual warfare in which God already won. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, let us be thankful. Just like in verse 12, it says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Let us rejoice, because God already won this warfare. And let us go tell it on the mountain. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you have never forsaken us. Right from the moment, the day that our forefathers, Adam and Eve, disobeyed you and bring sin in this world, you have already established a salvation plan. And this plan has been progressing in accordance to your sovereign will. We thank you that at Christmas, celebrating and remembering the birth of your Son Jesus, a great moment of rejoicing. And we give you thanks. So help us to prepare our hearts, to prepare for this great message. Once again, we live in our hearts, and help us to proclaim this great news to the world, to the community around us. For we pray all this in Christ Jesus' name.